Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Johnson County Social Services is at the center of an alarming allegation. An update on the alleged sexual assault involving a 7-year-old girl and a 17-year-old boy.
Plus, a surprisingly strong jobs report for September could signal a stronger economy. But analysts say don't celebrate just yet. Matt?
The Triangle's luxury housing market is holding strong despite the higher interest rates and rising construction costs. I'm going to take you inside this home for sale on the market right now in Raleigh to show you what $7 million will get you.
Johnston County Social Services is reviewing allegations of a sexual assault inside their building. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu this afternoon. Thanks for joining us. A 7-year-old girl says that she was touched inappropriately by a 17-year-old male. The girl's mother says she took her daughter to the WakeMed ER after her daughter made that accusation. Coming up on our next half hour, we'll hear from the interim director about the steps being taken in the investigation. And police in Durham are investigating a death in the 200 block of East End Avenue. Officers there say a tree service worker found a body around 8 o'clock this morning. We don't know if it was a man or a woman or how that person died. We'll continue to update this story both on air and online.
In less than 24 hours, a strong cold front will move through our area. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a timeline of that rain and huge drop in temperatures. Amy.
Already we have the rain on the radar. We had a little bit this morning in some of our southern counties. We're still seeing some of the showers from southern Wake County and points to the south. So just some light rain, not a big deal. But you can see some of that toward Fuquay and in the very southern part of Wake County down toward Anger, Lillington, Harnett County getting some showers. In some of those yellows, we have some heavier downpours. And down toward Rayford, Hope Mills, just to the west of Fayetteville getting a little bit of rain as well. And this is what we'll have throughout the day today. Just some spotty showers on and off. And it's all thanks to this cold front. We have some moisture ahead of this front. And so until the front moves through, we'll have that potential for a couple of spotty showers. And that's not going to happen until midday on Saturday. So we'll keep the rain chance in through about lunchtime on Saturday. Here's a look at futurecast. You can see hit and miss showers this afternoon. This evening, not really widespread. If you're headed to some of the football games this evening, the rain's not going to be a huge concern. Maybe a sprinkle or a light shower. And then overnight tonight into tomorrow, again, we'll have that potential for a little bit of rain as well. This is where the cold front is right now. And you can see the cold temperatures behind it, 45 in Minneapolis. This is going to dive down to the south and east, and we will feel it starting Sunday morning. Our low temperature down to 45, 44 for the low temperature on Monday. So some very chilly temperatures headed our way for the end of the weekend into the first part of the week. I'll walk you through the hour-by-hour forecast for both Saturday and Sunday coming up.
The U.S. economy added 336,000 jobs last month, nearly double what experts predicted. On the surface, it sounds great, but WRAL's Brian Schrader joins us live with why economists say we need to control our excitement on this, Brian.
Jeff, this was a huge surprise for economists. Again, the U.S. creating nearly twice as many jobs in September as they were expecting. And typically, big job growth would be good news, but there are concerns this afternoon that it shows an economy that is still running a little too hot. Now, wages grew a little less than expected, but still higher than the Federal Reserve wants. And those numbers point to a strong economy with more inflation pressure despite the big interest rate hikes. UNC Kenan Institute economist Gerald Cohen says that means the Fed likely will keep rates higher for longer, and that has big implications in the months ahead.
Because you're seeing it in housing markets, you're seeing it in auto demand, and I think that this is going to continue to weigh on the housing market.
Now, here's why he says the housing market still looks tight. Buyers are having trouble affording those mortgages at the higher rates. And for current homeowners, there's not much of an incentive to trade your 3 or 4% mortgage for something that could be twice as high. As for a recession, Cohen says today's numbers show no sign of an economic slowdown. He says he still expects perhaps next year a recession, but at least for now, things are looking strong in the U.S. economy, Jeff.
Brian, thanks for that. And you know, the response immediately on Wall Street was negative, because look at the graph at the top left of this screen here. It was in the red, negative from the start on that news this morning. It has rebounded tremendously. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 309 points right now. The S&P 500 also in positive territory. It's up 30. NASDAQ is up 164 points.
The Republican Party appears to be moving further toward the right and becoming more pro-Trump. Overnight, the former president endorsed conservative Ohio Republican Jim Jordan. Jordan is leading the impeachment inquiry into President Biden and a staunch Trump defender during both of his impeachments. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has also announced his candidacy for Speaker. Republicans will again hear from Speaker candidates at a forum next Tuesday, setting up the next possible House-wide Speaker vote on Wednesday. And Senate Democrats rejected an offer for information on travel and luxury vacations gifted to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. The Senate Judiciary Committee requested an itemized list of all gifts, payments, and other transactions between Republican mega donor Harlan Crow and Thomas, Crow's lawyers. Officers, they offered information from the last 5 years and said the committee could not make further inquiries into Crow's dealings with Thomas. The senators called the proposal insufficient and gave them until October 19th to submit a new offer.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, an Edgecombe County School District employee is facing sex crimes charges involving students. Take a look at whom we're talking about. This is 69-year-old Stephen Wells. He's accused of inappropriately touching three students, all of whom are part of the exceptional program at South Edgecombe Middle School. They're aged 12, 13, and 14 years old. Investigators say two students witnessed Wells touching one of the students and reported that incident to the principal of South Edgecombe Middle School. Wells is charged with sexual battery and indecent liberties. We have a crew trying to get some more detailed answers from the Edgecombe School District. Look for new reporting on this story starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
School boards are updating their policies to meet new requirements in the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights. The controversial law gives parents more say in their children's education. That includes what access they have to learning materials and curriculum. If parents take issue with a certain topic or activity, in most cases, they can take it to the school in writing. Some students may even opt out of certain lessons.
The educator or school will provide an alternative space or activity for that student to be respectful of the parents' wishes.
Ultimately, how those issues are handled will be up to each school district. As part of the budget, school districts have until January to meet the new requirements. In the meantime, many districts are working on draft policies and consulting with their attorneys to make sure they're in compliance.
More homes in the Triangle are selling for $1 million plus. In Wake County alone, nearly 1,100 homes have sold in the $1 million and up range so far this year. And this weekend, you can get a look inside some of the most luxurious ones on the market. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live in the North Ridge neighborhood of Raleigh to show us what $7 million will buy you. Matt, you have us on the edge of our seats here. Take us through.
You have $7 million to spare, Michelle. We'll take it and buy this house. How about that? This is a 1400 Rock Dam Court here. This is one of the homes that are part of the Triangle Parade of Homes. It's the most expensive one, by the way. You get this view. You can see some folks out here already trying to see this house. This is your view of the golf course as you wake up here in the owner's suite. This is one of five bedrooms in this house. This is a 9,000 square foot home here. It's done by Raleigh Custom Homes. I want to show you inside the bathroom here. This is the entire bathroom. It's also controlled by your phone. You can do everything from your phone in this house. As we walk through here, there's also a coffee bar right outside bed. So you wake up, you got your coffee all made right here. You can even hide that when you don't want to see it. But then the big part of this house that everyone's talking about is out here. This is what your living area will look like. You have the kitchen there. You have this living room here. And it's an indoor-outdoor space entirely. These are 24-foot wide openings out into this outdoor space here. And of course, this is what that $7 million view will get you here. This is a heated saltwater pool, an infinity pool right here. Now, the designer of this home says luxury buyers that are coming into the Triangle market here, they want this kind of resort-style living at home.
But the amenities here are endless, and that's what we do in our luxury homes. We are finding that people are moving here, and this price point they will afford coming from different areas. It makes this even more affordable. Sometimes it sounds like it's not, but it is.
it is affordable if you have that $7 million cash. Connie Allen, you just heard from there, the lead designer on this home. She took us on a full tour. We're also taking a look at what is driving the market for these multi-million dollar homes and who's buying them. We'll show you all of that starting on WREL News at 4. But here in the entertainment wing of the house, this is a 186-inch screen. You can spend all your time in here watching WREL News on a big screen if you want. And Keith, our photographer, we can show you into another part of this house here in the entertainment wing. There's a full golf simulation right here. You can check it out right now. This, again, is one of 185 homes on the parade of tours. The most expensive one just at $6.99 million, so just under $7 million. But I want to show you into this room, too, that overlooks the pool. This is that full rec room. You can see some of the folks here for the parade of tours. There's also a bourbon bar right over there out onto the pool. You can check this out today, tomorrow, Sunday, 12 to 5. There are 185 homes starting at about $285,000. So if you can't afford the $7 million, there's a home for you. Come out here and get an idea, and guess what? It's all free. You don't need $7 million to see it.
That's some good news. That house is spectacular. Something for everybody in that house. Matt Talhelm, thank you for taking us on a tour live in Raleigh for us this afternoon.
Michelle, here's what we call a professional television segue, because if you win the Powerball jackpot, you might be able to buy that house in Matt's story, right? The jackpot's an estimated $1.4 billion. That would cover it. No one has won in more than 10 weeks. You can watch tomorrow night's drawing live at 11 o'clock on WRAL.
Yep, that'll do it. $1 billion. It'll buy you that house. Well, the principal at Farmington Wood Elementary School is already a winner in our books. This morning, students and faculty members gathered for a big celebration in the campus courtyard. Everyone cheered and clapped for Principal Winston Pierce as she made her way down a row of excited kids. This was their way of celebrating her big win as Wake County's Principal of the Year. There was just one word to describe the feeling.
Love. I just feel complete love, not only because I love this school so much, but the love that poured out in that walkthrough this morning was fantastic.
Wow. Pierce has been principal at Farmington Wood since 2010 and had been a finalist for the award multiple times. She has won it this year, so congratulations to her.
Love the recognition.
Yes. No doubt.
Next at noon, the son of a Bucky's co-founder is accused of recording dozens of secret videos. Where this happened and the legal trouble he faces.
Also, the Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to a person currently in jail. How her lifetime of activism has been rewarded.
Plus, the man accused of murdering a Durham woman and seriously injuring another was in court today. Details on how he will remain in jail.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The son of a Buggy's co-founder is accused of recording dozens of secret videos. Mitchell Wasick is also a law student at Southern Methodist University. As Meredith Yeomans reports, Wasick now faces legal troubles of his own.
He is the son of a Bucky's co-founder and a student at SMU's law school. Now, Mitchell Wasick faces a legal battle of his own. According to an arrest affidavit, in May, friends visiting Wasick at his family's home on Lake Travis discovered that a charging port plugged into the wall of their assigned bathroom contained a hidden camera. The person who found it works for the Department of Defense in cybersecurity, the affidavit says. It says the friends took the hidden camera, left the home, then found stored on it dozens of videos of themselves and other people in bathrooms and bedrooms in various states of undress, some at Wasick's apartment in the Village in Dallas. In secret videos reportedly recorded at Wasick's Dallas apartment, one of the victims says she recognized herself and a friend because she says the video showed them changing into their Halloween costumes last October. It was reported to Dallas police, who tell NBC 5, due to insufficient evidence in Dallas, the case was suspended and all gathered evidence was shared with Travis County. Wasick was arrested Tuesday in Travis County. We were unable to reach him, and his attorney hasn't responded to our request for comment. But the attorney told the Dallas Morning News he was reviewing the case and would provide a response in court filings in the coming weeks.
That was Meredith Yeomans reporting. SMU campus police are cooperating with investigators. The school says there's no evidence of illicit recordings or other violations on its campus.
The largest healthcare worker strike in U.S. history is now entering its third day. More than 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers have walked off the job and onto the picket lines. The work stoppage is expected to end tomorrow morning. However, the coalition says it's planning to strike longer in November. That's if a new employment contract isn't negotiated by then. Workers on the picket line are fighting for better pay and for healthcare system to fill staffing shortages.
The Wake County Animal Center is shutting its doors for more than a month as it desperately tries to stop the spread of dog flu. We're told at least three dogs at the center have died from the virus. For the next 35 days, the animal center will be on lockdown and quarantine. This means that people will not be able to adopt or surrender a pet during this time. This morning, prevention is top of mind for pet owners, boarding facilities, and doggy daycares, including the Canine Cabana Dog Resort in Garner.
Everything we do here, from disinfecting with a hospital-grade disinfectant, mopping constantly, to water bowls, is purely to make sure everybody's as healthy as humanly possible.
And dog owners should watch out for any sort of respiratory signs or coughing that their pets may have. Wake County Animal Center says that if you find a stray, try to find its owner and consider getting your pet vaccinated.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, no charges will be filed in the collapse of this Hard Rock Hotel construction scene back in 2019. This happened back in New Orleans in 2019. A statement from the New Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office says, unfortunately, criminal negligence carries a much higher burden than civil negligence. And upon deliberating, the jurors decided there simply wasn't enough certainty to proceed. October 12th will mark 4 years since this happened at this construction site where that Hard Rock Cafe and hotel were under construction.
The 2023 Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to activist Narjeh Mohammadi. Mohammadi has been a prisoner for most of the past two decades. She has been sentenced repeatedly for her unrelenting campaign for human rights in Iran. That includes fighting against the oppression of women, the death penalty, and solitary confinement, which she has had to endure for weeks at a time. She is the 19th woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize and the second Iranian woman. I have to believe a subdued type of celebration in that case,
sure.
Her work being recognized.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, turn over to weather now. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth showing us where some showers are actually falling. It's mainly in our southern counties right now.
That's right. It's from about southern Wake County and points to the south. We're getting some light rain. Not a big deal, but a couple of showers around. Not seeing any lightning with this. And they've pretty much been stationary. They're not really moving anywhere. So the same locations getting the rain. Again, it's the southern part of Wake County toward Fuquay Varina, down into Harnett County, back down into Cumberland County, Hope County, seeing some of that rain as well. Again, just raining in the same location over and over again. This is a live look in Anger. The roads are a little bit wet here, definitely gray. We definitely have more clouds around today compared to the last couple of days. Temperatures are still warming up. We're in the 70s right now, 76 in Raleigh and Durham, 77 degrees right now in Rocky Mount. It's 77 in Goldsboro and 75 in Clinton. We're still tracking this cold front that is going to move through tomorrow. And once the front moves through, the drier air moves in and our rain chances go to zero. We also have Tropical Storm Philippe that could bring some dangerous rip currents to the North Carolina coast. It's actually post-tropical cyclone Philippe. I'll have more details on that coming up in the next half hour, but some dangerous rip currents along the coast over the weekend. Here's a look at future casts with the rain and the temperatures. We'll have spotty showers on and off for the rest of the day. Into the evening commute, a few showers will be possible with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. If you're headed to some football games, a couple of showers possible, but the rain will not be widespread late this evening. And then overnight tonight, a couple of spotty showers possible. This is Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. So if you have plans early Saturday, or the first part of the day, we'll still have the potential for rain. The cold front doesn't make its way through until the middle part of the day. Once that front moves through, our rain chances will go down. Here's around lunchtime, some showers, especially in our eastern communities, and then skies will clear throughout the second half of the day Saturday, and temperatures will take a bit of a tumble as we head into Sunday. So for today, we'll be dealing with some spotty showers. Not everybody gets the rain. Temperatures will warm into the upper 70s to lower 80s this afternoon. Football Friday, just a slim chance for a stray shower early, with temperatures mainly in the 70s, falling into the upper 60s by 8 o'clock. Saturday, the planner for Saturday. If you have plans in the morning until around around 11, maybe lunchtime. We'll have some of those showers with us, but then skies will start to clear. It'll be nice, but it'll be breezy with temperatures in the low 70s in the afternoon. Sunday, it is going to be a chilly start. So if you're getting out early on Sunday, plan for some colder temperatures, 45 degrees for the morning low. We'll have plenty of sunshine Sunday afternoon, but it stays mild. Our high temperature, just 65 on Sunday afternoon. And then looking ahead to Monday morning, it's even cooler, 44 for the low temperature. Monday, we'll have mostly sunny skies. Temperatures are going back into the low 70s. And then continuing to warm next week, 77 for the high Tuesday with a lot of sunshine, 78 on Wednesday, and then the start to the state fair next Thursday. Right now, the weather looking pretty good. Looks dry with temperatures in the upper 70s. I'll have an update on the tropics post-tropical storm Philippe coming up in the next half hour.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Five on Your Side is celebrating high scores in this week's restaurant ratings. The five spots that had perfect health inspections tonight at 5.
At 5:30, then, are beans the answer to some of the world's most troubling environmental issues? Climate reporter Liz McLaughlin explains how the tiny food could help solve world hunger and curb greenhouse emissions. And still ahead this noon, some younger workers looking to climb the corporate ladder are spending less and less time at one job. Why some career experts say they're literally leaving money on the table.
Also, new technology could help improve inclusion in sports. Why this new helmet could be just the beginning.
Job hopping is popular among younger workers, but financial experts warn that habit could have consequences at retirement time. Resume Lab recently polled more than 1,100 adult Gen Z employees, mostly between the ages of 18 and 26. 83% of them said they view frequent job changes as a way to improve their skills and resume faster. Job hopping can also help boost salary levels sooner, according to several career planners. However, this nomadic approach has many younger workers possibly losing sight of their long-term financial goals. A wealth advisor with Paragon Capital Management says some hoppers may forget to move or roll over retirement savings from one employer to another. There are generally three options for retirement funds. When changing jobs, you can roll it, convert it, or cash it out. If you roll your 401k into a fund with your new employer, you can usually bypass any taxes and have a nest egg to build on. If a rollover isn't allowed, convert your 401k into a Roth IRA. There are some upfront taxes, but younger workers are usually in a lower tax bracket now versus at retirement age. Most money experts caution to avoid the cash out option. The tax and penalty hits are typically high, and it means starting from square one on retirement savings. Your best bet, check with your current employer's HR resources to see exactly where you stand before you jump ship.
Some seniors plan to claim their Social Security benefits early over fears that the government may run out of money. A recent survey found that 72% of Americans do not plan to wait until 70, even though waiting would mean higher checks. Benefits to recipients could be cut as much as 20% by 2034 if Congress does not adjust Social Security.
Amazon is offering free grocery delivery for orders over $100. It is down from $150. The new pricing scale took effect last night. Prime customers will pay between $6.95 and $9.95, depending on the amount of the order. Shoppers without Prime will still be charged between $7.95 and $13.95, depending on the size of the order and delivery window. Groundbreaking equipment will allow deaf athletes to see plays in their helmets. See the plays. AT&T developed the equipment, which uses 5G connection to improve communications. The technology allows coaches to select a play from a tablet, which appears inside the player's helmet through augmented reality. Gallaudet University, a school for deaf and hard of hearing students, will debut this helmet this weekend. AT&T says the technology could eventually be implemented in any sport to improve inclusion.
The interim director of the Johnston County Social Services is addressing allegations of sexual assault inside the department.
The man charged with killing a Duke graduate student made his first court appearance this morning. We'll tell you what's next in his case. And here's a look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
State and local police are investigating a report from a 7-year-old girl who says she was sexually assaulted inside the Johnston County Social Services Building by a 17-year-old. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us live outside of Johnston County DDS, where the interim director spoke only to WRAL. Chelsea.
Yeah, we spoke to him this morning before he was going into a meeting focused solely on hiring a new director here for DSS. And why he couldn't get into the facts of the case, he assured us that he and his team are investigating these reports and hope to take appropriate action. Now, you'll recall on Monday afternoon, the 7-year-old's mother spoke to us and said Johnston County DSS reached out to her to let her know about this reported incident. The mother shared records of her daughter's visit to the emergency department at Wake Med, which state she was touched by another 17-year-old male in the custody of Child Protective Services while they were coloring in the office. Smithfield police, they confirmed they're investigating an aggravated assault with sexual motives, but wouldn't say if a juvenile petition has been filed, which means it initiates a court case for someone under the age of 18. They said this is still an active investigation. Take a listen, though, to what Ben Rose, interim director, had to say to us this morning.
We are most concerned about these allegations. We are working in full cooperation with Johnston County Police Department, our partners at DHHS. I reached out to them immediately.
Now, Ben Rose told me that there is a large number of staffing vacancies, openings here at DSS, specifically 37 openings right now, and we're working to learn if that staffing shortage could have contributed to this reported sexual assault. We'll have more information on this in our later newscasts.
All right, Chelsea Donovan, live in Johnston County. Thanks, Chelsea.
The man accused of murdering a Durham woman and seriously injuring another will remain in jail. 30-year-old Stephen DuBose is charged with first-degree murder of Angela Reese. Reese was a Duke graduate student. DuBose is also charged with attempted first-degree murder on another woman in that home on Worth Street. During his first appearance in Durham County Court, the judge declined to assign a bond, saying DuBose will remain in jail until his next hearing later this month.
The new state budget includes hundreds of millions of additional funding for private schools in the form of tuition vouchers. At the same time, public school budgets are being starved. This weekend, lawmakers and educators will discuss the implications at a rally for public education in Chapel Hill. And my guests this afternoon, Richard Jones and Charles Coble, will be there and join us live with a preview. Thank you guys so much for joining us to talk about this. Mr. Coble, let's start with you. You are the former dean of East Carolina University School of Education. Why do you see the funding plan as an attack on public education?
Well, one of the reasons I think our church, Binkley Baptist Church, is very concerned about what we see happening is because we know that there's a direct relationship. We agree with the founding fathers that there's a direct relationship between democracy and universal public education. And when you divert monies from public education to private education, you are simultaneously undermining American democracy and democracy here in North Carolina.
And Mr. Jones, as the former superintendent of schools in Transylvania and Watauga counties, public school funding, has it ever been this dire?
It's very challenging right now from many views. We feel that there are not only funding threats, but cultural threats to public education. And our goal at Binkley on Sunday is to identify what some of those challenges for public education are, how schools are being affected, and hopefully why anyone wants to diminish and weaken public education. We don't understand it.
And under the so-called opportunity scholarships, private schools have little accountability for how that money is spent, where it is going. Should parents and educators be concerned about this?
They should be very concerned about that, because the public schools are responsible for accepting, number one, everybody who is a citizen of the state and is school eligible. So they must take them, they do accept them, and they do try to educate them. Number two, what they teach them and how well they learn is all public information, and it's they're accountable to the public for the way those monies are being spent and the results and the impacts they have on students. Conversely, the monies being diverted to these opportunity grants have zero accountability. We don't know how they're being spent, and they're not being held accountable, And they can and often do discriminate against students by virtue of their sexual orientation and the state of their abilities or disabilities, as the case may be.
So talk to us about the Rally for Public Education and what participants can expect out of this.
We have a truly outstanding panel of advocates for public education, legislators, people who've had years and years of experience in education. I think we can attack these issues fairly and comprehensively and truly understand what is happening.
Absolutely. The Rally for Public Education begins at 11 o'clock Sunday morning at Binkley Baptist Church in Chapel Hill. The information is on your screen. Lunch will be served at noon prior to the question and answer hour. There is a $10 fee, which can be paid at the door. Make sure to reserve your meal by emailing the address on your screen. Richard Jones and Charles Cable, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Jeff?
Coming up next this noon, using the power of music to raise money for our local nonprofits. We have a special guest to talk about how they're aiming to do that this weekend. And an unusual guest on a boat in Florida. What wildlife experts say this bear was likely doing on that boat.
Welcome back. You're taking a live look at Fayetteville. A couple clouds in the sky there. You're watching WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
Work on a new park in Cumberland County will get started today. A groundbreaking ceremony is planned for historic Heritage Park in Hope Mills. The site of a historic mill on Lakeview Road will be redeveloped into a park. It'll include nature trails, a kayak and canoe launch, interpretive signs, and an open lawn space for events. The groundbreaking is happening at 4 this afternoon. The town of Nashville will not be getting a social district in its downtown. Social districts have been popping up in a number of communities, including Raleigh. It's a place where people can walk down the street with open alcoholic containers. In a unanimous vote, though, Nashville City Council decided against allowing one in their downtown. They did agree, though, to consider a social district in the area known as the Junction at a later date.
The place that many go to get a ham biscuit or a slice of pie at the state fair will soon be a thing of the past. The state fair plans to demolish the lunch stand building, better known as Restaurant Row. The fair plans to replace Restaurant Row with a modern Midway event center that can be used year-round.
So North Carolina State Fair is all about traditions, and there certainly are many traditions in that building. We feel like we're going to build an opportunity for some new traditions as well.
There's thousands of people that are going to be shocked when they come, and that's the sad part, you know. And when they ask why, it's progress, but with not a good outlook for the future as far as I'm concerned.
And the groups displaced from Restaurant Row can apply to come back in 2024. Like other vendors, the fair is not guaranteeing them a spot, though.
Connecting to the community through live music. After the break, we'll talk with the executive director of Band Together NC about who will benefit from this year's concert.
And we've heard of snakes on the plane, but what about bears on boats? The story behind this guy's day on the dock.
Welcome back this noon. It's a Friday. We're talking about having a little fun here. And since 2001, Band Together has used the power of music, live music, to donate over $11 million to Triangle area nonprofits. And with the rising cost of housing in our area, it's just not possible for a lot of folks to afford a safe place to live and to thrive. And this year, the effort is to change all that. WRAL and Fox 50, proud sponsors of this event coming up. And joining us to talk about this event tomorrow, Thorn Dalmansbeck, thank you so much for joining us here. NC Band Together, you're the executive director of this 2023 Mighty Give Back Benefit Concert. The name is exactly what it sounds like it's going to do.
Yeah, it's been exciting, man, and thank you so much for having me. And WRL, y'all have been such a proud sponsor of us for so many years, so thank you. But this is our second year of housing. We know how this incredible, I mean, there's so much need in our community right now. And for us to be able to support accessible housing, we have 20 incredible impact partners throughout the Triangle. We'll be able to raise over $2 million in a two-year period. So I don't want to ruin the surprise tomorrow night, but I think we're going to be able to raise a big check tomorrow. We have some incredible people coming, so we're really excited. And again, we just promote collaboration. And it's been so much fun to be able to take 20 of the Triangle's impact partners around this accessible housing, and that's rental, that's emergency shelter, mm-hmm. that's long-term and short-term housing, and really just collaborate with them and advocate for them and just hopefully put them on stage tomorrow night and give them a spotlight.
You got a huge headliner.
We do.
Tomorrow night.
We do. So Jason Isbell in the 400 unit. You know, this is our third sellout in a row, so I'm pretty excited. Every year we get a little more pressure to do that, but the community comes out for it. I mean, we can't do this without people buying tickets. And so Jason Isbell and Duran Jones is our opener. He's fantastic. So we're going to have an awesome night of music tomorrow night.
How many folks are we expecting?
About 6,000. So it's going to be packed, uh-huh. and it's going to be a lot of fun. And as you know, Band Together is we're all about fun. So we work hard, play hard. We like to have an awesome VIP experience for our sponsors and our community members. We like to give out sunglasses, man. So like, I got you a pair right now.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
Sunglasses for you. But we have a lot of fun when we're doing this.
Tickets still available? I mean, can folks
well,
still go?
Well, unfortunately, we're sold out. Yeah. But, you know, we're here to really advocate for these nonprofit partners. So if you have a ticket, come early. We start our experience at 5:00. Our first band's at 6:30, and we just have a lot of fun. We'll have some fun surprise guests as well. So it's always a lot of fun, and stay tuned for our next Band Together show.
We got about 20 seconds. What's in the VIP package?
VIP is everything. So we really showcase local vendors. So you know, a lot of incredible, like Bella Monica and Canteen 18 and all these awesome vendors, along with Cook's Mill Whiskey, Social House Vodka, mechanical bowls and everything else in between, sunglasses, and it's just a lot. It's a huge block party that's a lot of fun for everybody to hang out.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to see if I can read this with the glasses on. All right. So once again, the 2023 Mighty Give Back Benefit Concert tomorrow night. Red Hat Amphitheater is the place. Jason Isbell, the 400 unit headliners. Show begins 6:30. WRL on Fox 50, proud sponsors, Thorne Downbeck. Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, man.
Appreciate you. Yep. Thank you all.
Glasses look good. What do you think, Michelle?
You guys look totally
rocking
cool.
It?
I love that. Rocking it, for sure. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be so much fun. What a great event. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth. Amy, you're actually going to that event tomorrow.
Sure am. Jason Isbell's incredible. We're looking forward to that. And the rain will be gone. So if you're headed to that event, there will be no rain on the radar for that. The rain's going to move out by the middle part of the day tomorrow. We still have some rain showing up in the southern part of the viewing area. It's kind of moved out of Wake County. You have a tiny little shower in central Wake County, but the heavier rain from around Lillington through Harnett County back towards Spring Lake, just to the west of Hope Mills. And it's been raining in the same location for the last couple of hours. A look at the 6-hour rainfall totals, about 3/4 of an inch here in this blue little area in Harnett County. So some folks are picking up some decent rainfall totals today. Others not getting anything. This is a live look at our newsroom in Fayetteville. The streets are dry. They haven't really had much rain, just a few sprinkles in Fayetteville. Stanford, you've had some rain close to you. It looks like it might be raining just a little bit. You probably can barely see it, but it looks like it's just starting to rain a little bit here in Stanford. Definitely a gray sky there. Temperatures are in the 70s everywhere, fairly uniform, low 70s to the north, mid 70s for just about everyone else. 76 right now in Raleigh. Here's where the cold front is right now. It doesn't move through until around lunchtime tomorrow, and we'll have a rain chance until this front can make it all the way through the area. We also have post-tropical cyclone Philippe. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. A look at the hour-by-hour rain chances for today. About a 30% chance for the next several hours. By 7:00, we drop it down to a 20% chance. So those Friday night football games should be fine. Maybe a couple of sprinkles or a stray shower. Not a big deal. And then tomorrow, our rain chances, they're highest in the morning. That's when the cold front will be getting closer to us, finally moves through around lunchtime, and we'll really drop off those rain chances for the rest of the day. We'll have clearing skies. It'll be breezy. That's really good news for the home college football games tomorrow. We have a lot of them, all of them in the afternoon, all of them when the rain is already gone. So that's good. Temperatures will be in the 70s. It'll be breezy, and we'll have clearing skies. So some showers early Saturday, still breezy. Temperatures will be in the low 70s for highs, and then a chilly start Sunday, mostly sunny with temperatures in the mid-60s. Walk for Hope is Sunday. It is going to be chilly to kick off that race. 45 in the morning, 58 at 10:00, and then 67 by noon. Okay, update on the tropics. It's now post-tropical cyclone Philippe. That's as of the 11 a.m. advisory. It's lost its tropical characteristics. You can see it's not very organized here, but it still has winds at 50 miles per hour. So
still tropical storm strength winds. We already have some dangerous rip currents along most of the North Carolina coast, especially the Outer Banks. I'd expect that to continue through the day tomorrow. Here's a look at the track of that going right over Cuba within the next few hours, not Cuba, Bermuda, in the next few hours, and then making landfall in Maine early on Sunday morning with 50-mile-per-hour winds. So some dangerous rip currents for us over the weekend. Then we have this system off the coast of Africa, has a 50% chance of development, but it's not likely to impact the United States. So some rain until Saturday at noon and then improving weather. Temperatures are going to be great, a lot milder as we wrap up the weekend, but warming up next week with highs back in the upper 70s.
All right, thank you, Amy. The claws are coming out for NFL Sunday. The Panthers take on the Lions in their bid for the first win of the season. How you can catch the battle on the gridiron.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. State and local authorities are investigating a report from a 7-year-old girl who says she was sexually assaulted inside the Johnston County Social Services building by a 17-year-old boy. Smithfield police confirmed they're investigating, but wouldn't say if a juvenile petition had been filed that initiates a court case for someone under the age of 18.
An Edgecombe County School District employee is facing sex crimes charges involving a student. This is 69-year-old Stephen Wells. He's accused of inappropriately touching three students, all of whom are part of the exceptional program at South Edgecombe Middle School. Investigators say two students witnessed Wells touching one of the students and reported the incident to the principal of South Edgecombe Middle.
New numbers out today show the U.S. economy added 336,000 jobs in September. Typically, big job growth is good news, but there are concerns it shows an economy that is still running too hot. Wages grew a little less than expected, but still higher than the Federal Reserve wants. Those numbers point to a strong economy and more inflation pressure despite the big interest rate hikes.
The Panthers heading up to the Motor City to take on some NFL Sunday action, and you can catch it all on Fox 50. The Panthers will be in Detroit playing the Lions. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock, and then at 7 on WREL Football Night in America, followed by the Dallas Cowboys taking on the San Francisco 49ers for Sunday Night Football. That kickoff is 8:20. A local foundation wants to change the conversation around mental illness. This weekend, you can help the Foundation of Hope raise money and awareness at the 2023 Walk for Hope. WREL is a proud community partner because we believe in this effort. The walk takes place Sunday at the Angus Barn from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. We'll also have giveaways at our WREL booth. Come out and see us. I'll be there. Brian Schrader will be there. And Casey Hintz will also be there.
Harvesting is underway in a rice field in Japan that drew tens of thousands of visitors. And here's why. Farmers planted various types of rice to create images of a national figure skating hero, as well as an ancient regional warlord. People who visit the rice field next year will receive wreaths made from the harvested rice plant, and the creators plan to use the rice to make a local craft beer. Next month, bears will settle in for a long winter's nap, so it's not uncommon to find them popping up in strange places looking for food. People in Florida were stunned, though, this week when they found a black bear on one of those boats right there, docked in the harbor, casually hung out for about an hour, walking from the front to the back of that catamaran there. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission is tracking the bear's movements. Experts say he was likely just looking for food.
Just having a boat day looking for some food. All right, well, our pet of the day, it's not a bear. It's a senior girl with the spirit of a puppy. Aislinn is an 11-year-old spayed female dog weighing 45 pounds. She is friendly to everyone, from little kids to senior citizens, well-behaved cats, gets along with small and low-energy dogs. She is house-trained and knows sit, down, stay, and shake. She has all kinds of goofy antics worthy of making her own TikTok profile. For more information, visit spcawake.org.
Canceled flights, damaged luggage, and more. Complaints over airlines hit new highs this year. With holiday season fast approaching, we look into whether airlines are ready for the influx of travelers. NBC News Daily is up next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anywhere on the WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.